pray, O Lord, to you always be the glory. And now may our ears hear and our hearts believe what you have to say to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the early 60s, there was a picture of one of the piers in Norfolk, Virginia, Naval Station. And berthed on the left side of that pier was the old USS Enterprise CV-6 from World War II being dismantled for scrap. Next to it on the right side was the new USS Enterprise CVN-65 being fitted out for sea trials and eventual service in the U.S. Navy. And CVN-65, U.S. Enterprise, went on to serve our country and the people and the crew that served aboard her for 50 years. And now she's in Newport News being dismantled for scrap. I had the privilege of serving on the USS Enterprise from 1987 to 1990. And just a year or so ago, there's a video of the first cut of steel being made for the new USS Enterprise down the road from the old USS Enterprise in Newport News Shipyard, that she will be built in the next 3 or 4 years, and once again the USS Enterprise will serve the USS Navy. And who knows, maybe in the future there will be an NCC 1701 USS Enterprise Starship Enterprise, right? You never know. But it's amazing to watch that first cut of steel, just a hunk of steel, being, you know, from something that was put together with coal and oil and whatever they do to make steel. And there it is, to fit out the new USS Enterprise. From a beginning will be built this supercarrier, or over 100,000 tons and 5,500 plus sailors with 80 sole planes that will serve our country in the years to come. Well, that, compared to what the Lord did in the beginning, in the very beginning, is just small compared to what the Lord did, as we hear from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created this wonderful heavens and earth. It was not an accident. It just didn't spring out of nothing. It was God who took out of nothing and created this wonderful world and all of us who live on it. We are his beautiful and wonderful creation. And I wonder if we who call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus, truly comprehend, not just in our minds, but in our souls, what happened that day, that time, when God said, "Let it be." In the beginning, God created. Take a moment and let this phrase sink into your mind. Let it become a picture in your heart. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a very powerful statement, which for the church and believers become our worldview. We believe, because through faith, what the Bible teaches, that God has always existed, exists now, and will exist forever. That there is no one or anything before him, no one like him now, and no one like him forever. To incorporate in our thinking that everything started with God, has at its basis that God exists and that we exist by his love and his graciousness. The Westminster Shorter Catechism's first question is this: what is the chief end of all people? People's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But let's put this in terms of Jesus' response to the question posed to him as to which is the greatest commandment, he was asked. And Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is to love your neighbor as yourself. That is what sums up all the law and all the prophets. To love God and to love one another. It's not either or, it's both and. And this is our ultimate goal. This is our worldview. This is our starting point for living, to love God and to love others. God began something beautiful for us to enjoy and to enjoy the relationships which we have been given. And what God created, he called very good. That's what it says at the end of Genesis 1. God is the God of new beginnings. And beginnings are always an opportunity to start new and to grow into something beautiful and life-changing. Now, at New Year, there are many of us that make resolutions, right? Probably, what do you think the greatest one is? Want to lose weight, right? I've tried that too many times. To do something different, or we try to break a bad habit. We start off big, and then over time, we seem to lose steam. But God started out very big, creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he did not lose steam. Although he took the seventh day of rest, and he modeled that for us, that we should take that seventh day of rest to worship and to honor him. But because he is God, he created something very big. And he handed it to us. And he said, continue this beautiful and wonderful thing that I have given you. Don't destroy it. Honor it and cherish it and live in it. And it's there for you to enjoy, but to care for and to nurture. But the Lord knows that for us to grow and to become and to move into something that is beautiful over time, we have been given by forgiven through faith from the beginning. We don't have to worry about that. We're forgiven. Once we accept Christ, we're forgiven. But he says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But we have to start small. We can't do it big right away. It doesn't work. We start small, we practice, we build those daily habits of faith. You know, when the first electric light was made, it was so dim that a candle was needed to see the socket to plug it into. One of the first steamboats took 32 hours to chug its way from New York to Albany, a distance of 150 miles. That's an average of 5 miles an hour. Orville and Wilbur Wright's first airplane flight lasted only 12 seconds. And didn't get very far off the ground. And the first automobiles traveled 2 to 4 miles per hour and broke down often. In fact, people passing in wagons drawn by horses would shout at these people in these automobiles and say, get a horse. Often with human endeavor, whether it be a scientific discovery or an attempt to start something new, it begins with a whimper and eventually can grow into something big and great. God says that we are new creations in Christ, that we have been made new and we can be born again into something new and wonderful through faith. As it says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This means that this is something we are to do every day. This is part, it's like eating, drinking, exercising, all that stuff which makes for a healthy body. To make for a healthy spiritual life, we have to attend to that of the Spirit. Growing means to be continually involved in our relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ by the power and motivation of the Holy Spirit, not our own juice. The Holy Spirit of God is our life coach. who speaks to us to a habit of daily reading, daily praying, attending worship, fellowshipping with other believers, and living a life so that when people see how we live and they observe how we live and talk and act, they will see a genuine Christian and they will see what Christ is like. One who walks the walk and talks the talk. Jazz musician and saxophonist Charlie Parker is quoted as saying, "If you don't live it, it won't come out of your horn." So how do we do this? First, letting the Word of God guide you. Therefore, it must be read regularly to incorporate in your thinking those principles which are godly and true. We can all repeat the Pledge of Allegiance, but can we also recite by memory scripture verses? Two, when you say, "I'll pray for you," pray for them and let them know that. "Just wanted to let you know that I've been praying for you." Three, keeping a spiritual journal of thoughts, prayers, and thanks and blessings from God. I mentioned that a while ago in a sermon about a gratitude journal. I wonder how that's been going for you. Have anybody been keeping that? I hope that's been very helpful to you. Number four, begin by beginning and practice every day. There is truth to the phrase, practice makes perfect, right? Anyone that has learned a sport, a musical instrument, or any discipline knows that it's hard work. And at first, it might be somewhat frustrating because you just can't seem to get it right. But if you keep on keeping on, eventually it comes together and it turns into a beautiful song. When people see that we are authentic, they will want to know the authentic Savior. We have to begin to sing a new spiritual song to the Lord, and that has to begin with the Lord daily. Number two, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Lord's creation was certainly a new beginning. It was based on love, beauty, perfection, and safety. The garden was created for Adam and Eve as a safe and perfect place. All their needs were provided, and they were in a perfect relationship with the Lord. But what happened was that Adam and Eve turned from the Lord because they thought they could be the ones, they could be their own God and make their own creation. The scripture states that this world of ours and the entire universe is God's, and before it was even created, God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, existed, exists now, and will exist for eternity. And he has it in his heart and mind to forgive us for our sins and for our turning away from him. Because he is the Word. He is the Word of life. He is real. He is true. He is the one we can follow because he is perfect. The Apostle John specifically states the truth that Jesus is God in that he existed before creation, lives now through the Holy Spirit, and he is the absolute expression of truth because his word is truth and can be depended upon to be our guide for our daily living. Number three, our third scripture says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end." And that's the greatest news we could hear. As there is a beginning, there is an end to our life. But life with God means that there was a beginning of our life and there will be continuation of our life through faith when we're with the Lord in glory. God is always, and we will be always with him through faith. But we must remember that there was nothing before God and nothing after God. He always is. And we have the privilege of believers in Jesus Christ to live in that presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. John 17, 15 through 18 says this, "I do not ask you," this is Jesus speaking, "I do not ask you," praying to his Father, "to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." We have been created in a wonderful way by the Lord to be living witnesses of his love and truth and grace to others. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to be willing to give our lives that others will know the truth and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him as their Savior and Lord. And we are to celebrate our faith in word, deed, fellowship, and missions activity. We are to build a church that loves and accepts all people, stands for biblical truth, and prays and prays and prays. Is this the vision you have for your relationship with the Lord and for our church? Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for how you have blessed us, how you have provided for us. And Lord, yes, there are many times in our lives where each of us struggle, personal situations, health, financial, whatever it is, Lord, it's part of who we are as humans. But we know that you have said to us that I am with you always. And that always means he was there even before we were born. He has always been there for us during our entire life. And we have the honor and privilege of being him with ever through faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, the one who saves us from death and gives us life eternal. Oh, Lord, for that we are truly grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.